Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
It's time we stop locking up people for possession of marijuana.
Now you see what that meant. That meant a huge expansion in contraceptive services, and they took George Bush's armies of compassion and turned them into armies of contraception.
But now with the ministry in bankruptcy and the church building sold to the Catholic Church, the Reverend Robert Schuller and his wife announced over the weekend their family is leaving the ministry he founded four decades ago.
Jesus is like, well, that's not how God thinks. Because the one, the individual one, is so important. He would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
We think of a lot of things in the church in the wrong terms. We think of the have to of church. I have to go to church. I have to listen to the sermon. Have to do this, have to do that, have to be in Bible class. And really, none of it given by the Lord is a have to, especially with confession and absolution. But it is not in our nature to want to confess our sins. It is in our nature to want to cover them up, not to confess them, to hide them and keep them secret, not to bring them out into the open. And God forbid, almost literally God forbid, we do that to another person, much less the pastor. And yet the church has a long practice of this individual confession to a pastor and hearing that individual absolution, the application of the forgiveness of sins and the gospel by a pastor to an individual. So why has the church ceased to do it in so many quarters? Welcome back to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, the 19th of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number, we'll be talking about private confession and absolution with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irvine, California, and he'll be making a presentation at a catechism convocation for the people April the 21st at Trinity Lutheran Church in Whittier, California. His presentation is titled Individual Confession Absolution as Integral to Pastoral Care and Apologetic. Dr. Espinosa, welcome back.
Todd, it's great to be back. Thank you for that great introduction on the topic.
You quote from a man I greatly admire, the sainted Dr. Kenneth Corby, who is a great teacher on this subject, and you say that he said of private confession and absolution, it is a service of the church to disturbed souls. What did Dr. Corby mean by that?
Yeah, Dr. Corby, what a fantastic blessing to the church, as you said. And, you know, his quotation really stands in contrast, first of all, to some of the very mistaken ideas about private confession and absolution, which, unfortunately, presented as a work of man. Approaching this wrongly in terms of our contrition, how we monitor and try to produce sorrow in our own hearts, and then how we confess through the enumeration of sins and working so hard to try to get it right in our confession, and then satisfaction, this idea of trying to somehow prove our worthiness for the forgiveness of sins. And what Corby does instead is he takes us back to the work of the Holy Spirit, not the work of man. Corby quite simply brings us to the fact that when people are confronted by their sins, especially when the law of God reveals those sins to them, by the work of the Holy Spirit, they are cut to the heart, and they experience what our Lutheran confessions refer to as the terrors of conscience. So God, by the Holy Spirit, does his work in convicting souls, cutting us to the heart, so that we have disturbed consciences about ourselves, knowing our shame, knowing our guilt, knowing our fears, and how we stand before a righteous God. So he understands, Todd, in giving us this kind of description of how desperately we need to find peace within ourselves and especially towards God. So he leads us to this blessed practice of private confession and absolution where Christ comes to his people, not through a man who has some indelible mark or special inherent quality, but through the very word of Jesus Christ, which puts upon the distressed soul, I forgive you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, connecting them, uniting them to his precious blood, the blood of atonement that he shed on the cross of Calvary.
You alluded to this just a moment ago, and I think you have some very early, that is, young in your life, experience with this. Do you remember, as a former Roman Catholic in your childhood, how the practice was taught and how it was urged upon you?
Well, certainly. The way it was taught and urged upon me gave me the impression, at least at a very young age, that this is quite simply what needed to be done. And I want to emphasize this idea of what I needed to do to be a good Catholic, to be a good believer. And in the way I received it was the impression of something very mechanical. And in my young understanding, I remember the nuns going over the procedure. This is what you are to say before you walk into the confessional booth. Memorize it thoroughly so that when you get in there, you say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been X amount of time since my last confession." And so I view this, again, as a very mechanical thing that I needed to do to be right with God. And it really put me in the mindset that my right standing with God had everything to do with my proper fulfilling of the law or the requirement of the church. That kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. So later on in life, when I had the wonderful blessing of hearing Lutheran preaching, proclamation of law and gospel, and being absolutely enlivened and lifted up by the gospel of Christ, I knew that I was going to leave that old system behind.
And yet you note that your experience in some ways parallels that of 16th century reformer Martin Luther, who lived for a much longer time under a similar kind of oppressive teaching of confession and absolution. They would have called it penance. You note that even after the Reformation, Luther doesn't want to do away with private confession and absolution. Why didn't he, and why wouldn't you?
Because of a radically different understanding of private confession and absolution. The way it was couched and presented before Luther's realization of the gospel was something that entailed a man coming before God in a way where he had to be very self-conscious and self-aware about feeling the right things, saying the right things, going through the right procedure. What Luther realized in receiving the clarity of the saving gospel was that this is not at all primarily the work of man, but according to our Lutheran spirituality, it is driven by our thirst for the gospel, for the absolution of Jesus Christ. Having that understanding, well, certainly when we confess our sins, it can be something difficult and even painful. What we are really thirsting for, as a deer pants for that stream of water, is the word of absolution to come upon us. In that context, as yearning for the absolution of Jesus Christ, Luther said in his 1520 Babylonian Captivity of the Church, "As to the current practice of private confession, I'm heartily in favor of it. Even though it cannot be proved from the Scriptures, it is useful, even necessary, and I would not have it abolished. Indeed, I rejoice that it exists in the Church of Christ, for it is a cure without equal for distressed consciences. And he goes on, and just one other quote, Todd, if you don't mind. In his eighth sermon to the Wittenbergers in 1522, Luther says, "Nevertheless, I will allow no man to take private confession away from me, and I would not give it up for all the treasures in the world, since I know what comfort and strength it has given me. No one knows what it can do for him, except one who has struggled often and long with the devil. Yea, the devil would have slain me long ago if the confession had not sustained me. For there are many doubtful matters which a man cannot resolve or find the answer to by himself. And so he takes his brother aside and tells him his trouble."
With only about a minute here, Luther said something odd there. He said, although it cannot be proved from the scriptures, what is he saying there in interest of full disclosure, without a minute before we take our break?
Yeah, absolutely. So what he is saying is that we see clearly from scripture that confession and absolution is given to us generally, but there is no particular prescription as to the exact context. We know, for example, that when the absolution of Christ is given, even in the divine service, in a general way, it is an effective and powerful absolution. James 5:16 teaches absolution in terms of mutual confession and absolution with a fellow Christian. What Luther is saying is there is no exacting prescription to going to your pastor individually to receive absolution. Nevertheless, it is absolution that is given in that context as well. And when that Christian has opportunity to receive it, they can go freely to receive a very great blessing indeed from their pastor, who is bound to secrecy.
Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is our guest. We're talking on this Monday afternoon, March the 19th, about private confession and absolution. Our conversation continues after this.
So if I love you.
Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about private confession and absolution. Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is our guest. You can join us with questions or comments on this Monday afternoon. 1-877-623-6943 is our in-studio telephone number, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Joe is listening in St. Louis. Joe, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hi, Todd. The apology to the Augsburg Confession, talking about the woman of ill repute in Luke 7, says the woman came with the opinion that forgiveness of sins should be sought in Christ. This worship is the highest worship of Christ. She could think nothing greater about Christ. And the thought struck me listening is looking at confession and absolution as a form of worship. I mean, we're always looking for, you know, to bring something to God, you know, higher praise or something like that. And it just struck me that this woman was engaging in confession and absolution in that sense. She worshiped Christ in that way. And I guess it's interesting seeing the dots connect this way, if it's okay to do that.
Joe, thank you very much. Smartest listeners in radio, as we often say. What do you make of it, Dr. Espinosa?
Yeah, a fantastic question. We know that when we speak of worship and divine service, there's certainly a sacrificial aspect. We come confessing, we sing praises to God, we confess our faith. But the primary aspect of worship, as we know, is the sacramental aspect where God comes to us. And it's really exciting to see in our confessions, Todd, that absolution is called a sacrament of repentance. And along with baptism and Lord's Supper, according to the Apology Article 13, they are called truly sacraments. So it's very much it's complementary to Joe's question, because in receiving sacraments, we're receiving Christ coming to us. And again, when it comes to Lutheran spirituality, the emphasis is not put on how we come to God. Certainly, we need to confess our sin, but that, too, is drawn out by the Holy Spirit. The emphasis is God coming to us. So think of it in terms of what happens in a very personal, individual way when God comes to us and he says, "I baptize you." Or take, eat, this is my body given for you. And in the absolution, I forgive you. Who is the actor in those sacraments? It is most assuredly the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so let's talk about the, you have several reasons, and I'm sure there may be more, why with that given that we mentioned before the break, that there is no exacting requirement of private or individual confession absolution, although it's with the pastor, although it's certainly commended in the book of James, and there's confession absolution all over Christ's words in the New Testament. With that,
right,
what are some good pastoral reasons why individual confession and absolution ought to not only be retained, but recovered among us?
Right. So, as you've said, as we hold on to the various kinds of confession, including personal confession, whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, for example, what a fantastic gift we have on a daily basis. We include in all of that, in personal confession and mutual confession and general confession, also private confession. And when we step back and ask ourselves, what is special about this particular context? Well, there are some main things that come out in answering that question. One of the things that comes out, Todd, is that it helps the people of God confess what is truly burdening them. That is to say, well, in our confessions, we certainly have the proper view that we teach about the fact that the Scriptures teach in Psalm 19:12, who can discern his errors? This is not, again, about the enumeration of sins. We are, however, concerned about those particular sins that might cause a conscience to be distressed or troubled. When people are in that state, if all we have is a general confession without naming those particular sins which burden us, we are really missing out. God has, in his wisdom and providence for his church, provided pastors who certainly are called in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18 and John chapter 20 to absolve his confessing people, to be there for that person to name those specific sins. I'd like to read to you this fantastic quotation from Plass in his work, What Luther Says. Preaching is like a man who is throwing coins into a crowd. Whoever grasps a coin has one. But if a man were to send a servant to press a coin into the hand of a timid soul, we would have an illustration of private absolution. The human heart seems to find it easier to believe that the world is redeemed than to believe that this universal redemption applies to it personally. So one of the advantages of private confession and absolution is that it really helps people to speak on the specific sins that they themselves are struggling with, leading them to the second advantage of the personal application of the gospel for those particular sins.
So that second part is the two go together. I mean, that is, we're really calling things by their name, aren't we? I mean, rather than just say, I generally feel guilty over my general condition of sin, which is certainly a fine thing. And sometimes our guilt is just that diffuse. We can't put our finger on it. But we do often need to put our finger on it, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. This is where I like to quote something that Bonhoeffer said in this situation. He said, general confession of sins with the announcement of forgiveness during a worship service can be a most salutary practice, but it can also serve as a convenient but feeble substitute for individual confession and absolution. The general confession was never intended to replace the practice of individual confession and absolution. Individuals suffering from a secret sin miss the opportunity to name their sin out loud and receive God's forgiveness for personal assurance and comfort. So, again, amen to the practice of starting our divine services with general confession. That is the true absolution of Christ that comes to us. But sometimes in not naming those sins, we can miss out on the comfort that can otherwise be received in private confession and absolution.
The other side of that coin that you mentioned just a moment ago, and that is, and I think pastors perhaps are a bit naive when, as we do Sunday after Sunday, we raise our hand in blessing and pronounce the absolution generally over the congregation. We might be a little naive in thinking that every person there is saying, yes, this is for me, amen, this is for me. There may be people there saying, well, he means those people behind me or those people in front of me, but he certainly can't mean me.
Yes, absolutely. You're describing what I suspect to be, Todd, a very common problem. You know, there's just something about hearing the sermon, which again, remember, my personal testimony in all of this is that this is what brought me to the Lutheran confession, were the wonderful sermons of law and gospel, and I was hooked. And for the longest time, I just didn't use private confession and absolution because I just derived so much comfort from the sermons of our church. But as a pastor over the years, over 20 years now, I've learned that, you know, you can only go so far. You can try to make those sermons as personal as you possibly can in speaking to the multitudes, but it's easy for that person to just feel, maybe he's not speaking to me. I feel as though I am going through something that really doesn't quite touch what he's saying to the general crowd. And as a result, feel isolated and left out.
Now, you recount, I think in a general way, kind of a pastoral incident where you kind of came to the realization in, I think, individual counseling with someone who's deeply troubled, that you were in over your head when it came to the problems here. What was your what was the best thing you could do for that troubled person who just kind of backed up the front loader and dumped it right on top of you in this little private session?
Right, and you know, I just want to back up and say I can't praise our seminaries enough for how they equip us. I know that attending the seminary in Fort Wayne, I was so well-equipped and so well-taught. My son is in at the other seminary in St. Louis and being well-equipped. But, you know, I came out of seminary, Todd, and I was 25 years old, And I was ready to with boldness and joy, explicate our articles of the sacred faith from that pulpit. But one day, as I had just recently been ordained and installed, one of my parishioners came to my door, introduced herself, and welcomed me to my new parish. And the more we talked, I realized she had a lot more on her mind. And the parish I was called to had been vacant for 4 long years. And this parishioner was going through a storm, so many deep personal problems, so distressed, so discouraged, very much describing her plight as being depressed. And I was sitting there, this young pastor, taking all of this in, again, with all of this training to proclaim the gospel from the pulpit, but really feeling as though, as you said, over my head. What in the world was I going to say to this woman who was suffering so every day of her life? And by the grace of God and by the grace of God alone, even though at that particular point in my life I still was not personally using pursuing private confession and absolution for myself, for my own father confessor, I said, by God's grace, I would recommend that we start practicing private confession and absolution for you. And the rest is history. And what I experienced in that woman of faith was tremendous healing.
Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is our guest. We'll be right back.
Thank God for forgiveness. I don't know how else we could get along without forgiveness.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Here are 2 new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card, and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
One Woman's Story.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
When Dixie's pregnancy test came back positive, she immediately made an appointment for an abortion. She declares, "My mind was made up and nobody was going to change it." But Dixie's mother encouraged her to at least call the local pregnancy support center. She agreed and eventually had an ultrasound at the medically equipped center. Despite what she first said, something did change Dixie's mind about having an abortion. It was the ultrasound image of her baby girl. She says now, "Without her, I wouldn't have found me." Clearly, that ultrasound changed 2 lives for the better.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about private confession and absolution with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. He's pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irvine, California. He's going to be making a presentation at a catechism convocation for the people April the 21st at Trinity Lutheran Church in Whittier, California. And his presentation is titled Individual Confession and Absolution as Integral to Pastoral Care and Apologetic. Dr. Espinosa, tell us a little bit more about this convocation for the people in Southern California next month.
Yeah, Todd, we have some pastors out here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who are just so excited about the teaching and practice of our Lutheran tradition and heritage. We know this is exactly what our world needs today, and we're just passionate about conveying that in our parishes and to our communities. 5 years ago, we started sponsoring, we kind of band together our congregations to sponsor a convocation series on the catechism. And so we're going through the six chief parts right now, the small catechism. And this year we're on year five, doing confession and absolution, the keys in action, this convocation for the people. We trade off on who's hosting. This year's going to be a Trinity Lutheran Church in Whittier, California. I'm excited because while I'm certainly looking forward to my presentation, as you have kindly referred to it many times, we also have the Reverend Robert Dargitz, who's the pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Orange, California, conducting a presentation on the exegetical and kind of systematic foundations for confession and absolution. But our very special guest, and we were just tickled pink, looking forward to having the Reverend Dr. Lawrence Rast, the president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, coming out to speak on the history of private confession and absolution in the Lutheran Church. It promises to be a day of great learning and also, of course, worship. We're going to start off with the service of Matins and end with a divine service with the Holy Sacrament. And we invite other LCMS Christians who want to join in for the worship and just all Christians who want to join in for the presentations. Would love to have them and grow with us in the Word of the Lord through the faithful proclamation of that Word in our Lutheran confessions.
Folks, you can find out more about the Catechism Convocation for the People. It's April the 21st at Trinity Lutheran Church in Whittier, California, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Let's see what David has to say. He's listening in Kansas City. Hi, David.
Hi, Todd and Pastor Espinosa. Thank you very much for this timely topic. I'm a baptismal sponsor of my nephew and niece, and I was wondering if there was any, you know, along with the catechism itself, I was wondering if there's any in scriptures, if there's any book for an 8-year-old or a 6-year-old that might be able to help them at an early age understand confession and absolution.
It's a great question. Thank you very much for listening out there in Kansas City, David. Dr. Espinosa.
Yes, David, thank you for that fantastic question. And you've led me to a reference I'm using for my presentation. It's a reference entitled Confession and Forgiveness, Professing Faith as Ambassadors of Reconciliation. And it's written by Ted Kober. His name is spelled K-O-B-E-R. The book is put out by CPH, Concordia Publishing House. And what Ted does is he talks about the gift of confession and absolution in different contexts. For example, as we've mentioned before, the James 5:16, the mutual confession and absolution.
the Mutual Conversation Consolation of the Saints, as we've referred to it in our Lutheran Confessions. Anyway, at the back of this book, there's a series of appendices, and one of them is a service for family confession and absolution, where we are at the table, and we are sharing this very simple service about how God calls us to confess our sins, to talk about our need for forgiveness, and having the head of the family, and also, you know, certainly would be very easy to insert the presence of a godfather, godmother, baptismal sponsor to be there to share in that sharing of forgiveness spoken to the children around the table. It's a fantastic service that Ted Kober has done for the church, which, by the way, reminds me earlier in the interview when I referred to the challenge of secret confession in the midst of general confession. I had the Kober quotation right next to the Bonhoeffer quotation. I was actually quoting Kober. It's afterwards that Bonhoeffer comes back in his book Life Together to elaborate on the challenge of secret sin. So my correction there. But thanks, David, for that question. Get the book. It's got some helpful services in it.
Now, there's another aspect to this that you say for the pastor himself is very valuable, individual confession and absolution. You say that it is a way for the pastor himself to be cared for by his own father confessor. That's a term you've used here in our conversation already. What are you talking about, father confessor?
Yeah, so Todd, my second great lesson in regards to private confession and absolution, besides what my parishioner did for me back when I was 25 years old and leading me to give her the only thing I had to give her through private confession and absolution, was that later on in time, Todd, as I was, you know, doing my best to be faithful and serving, and, you know, as you well know, if anyone is to be characterized as doing what Paul says and bearing one another's burdens, this way fulfilling the law of Christ, it's a faithful pastor who is serving his people and taking on their burdens and really getting into their lives, getting messy with them and really facing their struggles with them. And as I was doing that, frankly, as the years were starting to go by, I was feeling really tired, really exhausted to the point of burnout. And it was at that point where God kind of literally got me on my knees and had me say, look, maybe you should be practicing what you're preaching here now. And I sought out a confessor. Now, using the terminology father confessor is something that has been handed down to us from our Lutheran tradition. It's quite simply referring to that spiritual caregiver, the one, that curator of souls, who is watching over us, kind of like a father in a household watches over his children in that sense, who will himself be a pastor for a pastor. And so over the years, Todd, I've been blessed. While I've served in California with a particular LCMS pastor, when I was in Texas for 8.5 years with a particular LCMS pastor over there, with two pastors who never responded in a shocked way for the things that I had to confess. Instead, they confidently and boldly brought the gospel of Jesus Christ and with the most love and consideration pronounced the absolution over me, and then afterwards would counsel with me as to how I could go forth in the freedom of the gospel to try some of their counsel in doing better, in living for the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, in the liberating freedom of the gospel. So my recommendation in this paper is that every pastor should seek a pastor. Now, this kind of opens another need for addressing kind of a new issue, and that is, you know, it's how do you find that person? And a lot of it has to do with someone you can trust. Let's face it, Todd, someone you can really trust, someone who has learned it enough to really bring the Word of God to life and applying it to your pastoral ministry, but someone who is truly pastoral and who is going to keep that confidence no matter what. But we all know the promises of the Lord. Pray in His name, trusting in Him, and He will do it. We just need to seek.
Now, there's something here that we haven't discussed yet, which I think many people settle for. And it's not the general confession. You've already done a good job of saying that that is a salutary thing. It's a good thing to retain in the church. It's what you and others have called self-forgiveness. What is it, and what's the problem there?
Okay, so this is something that it really is addressed both by Bonhoeffer and I think to in a legitimate degree by Corby. And so What Bonhoeffer is getting at is he's kind of challenging us to consider the overall situation. He asks a very important question. This is a Bonhoeffer quote from his book Life Together. He asks the question, why is it that it's often easier for us to confess our sins to God than to a brother? God is holy and sinless. He's a just judge of evil and the enemy of all disobedience. But a brother is sinful as we are. He knows from his own experience the dark night of secret sin. So why should we not find it easier to go to the brother than to the holy God? But if we do, we must ask ourselves whether we have not often been deceiving ourselves with our confession of sin to God, whether we have not rather been confessing our sins to ourselves and also granting ourselves absolution. It is not the reason, perhaps, for our countless relapses and the feebleness of our Christian obedience to be found precisely in the fact that we're living on self-forgiveness and not a real forgiveness.
Now, we've only got about a minute here. Can you explain with about a minute here why it's so much better to receive that absolution from outside rather than wonder about it from the inside with about a minute?
Because of our sinful nature, we continue to struggle. And by virtue of that continual struggle that Paul describes in Romans 7 and Galatians 5, that struggle by nature produces doubt in us. And we need to understand this is a perpetual experience of the Christian. Some people have this false idea of sanctification that if I'm truly sanctified, I'm no longer going to doubt. But in fact, the doubt continues to persist. And when we try to deal with it ourselves within ourselves, it's within this cycle of doubt constantly confronting us from within. That's why we need to go outside of ourselves. We need to go to a place where Christ himself has said in his word, again, Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and John 20, that we have this absolution given to us from his office, the office of the ministry, his word. And in that, Luke 10, 16 assures us, as Christ said to his office bearers, he who hears you hears me. We are led to know that that voice of absolution from the pastor is from Christ himself. Nothing deals with doubt better than that promise, Todd.
Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irvine, California. He'll be making a presentation at a catechism convocation for the people April the 21st at Trinity Lutheran Church in Whittier, California. Dr. Espinosa, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be on.
When we come back, the last 10 minutes of this Monday afternoon, we'll spend with Jason Plummer. He's a Republican candidate for the 12th Congressional District in Illinois. We'll talk about tomorrow's election primary in Illinois.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden. Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.